NBA Strayer. How are you going? Are you right? I bloody well hope so, because this is NBA Strayer. It's a Friday, TGIF, am I right? March 22. I'll tell you what, hate to be a tin in about 45 minutes' time. I'm your host, James Clements. You can see me on the AFL Today Show, the official Supercoach podcast for AFL and all that sort of good gear. You can also see me on Fox Sports Lab, NBA. That's fun. I'm here back in Larry Armour Studios, hanging out, giving you the lowdown, all things NBA, and a bit of Australia. Speaking of which, Jock Landale, the Rooster, goes bang, set a new career high today. That was awesome. The G League Ignite is no more, which is pretty interesting for the NBL. Dallas had a dunk party today. Never trust the Kings. The Nets covered, but they were still very bad. So we'll talk about all that. We'll also set up the weekend for you. We've got the NBA Australia Game Wraps. We've got That's Not a Knife, All Mate No Mates, Better Than Knife, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There is some Yeah Nahs, an unpopular opinion of the day, and our Back Take Guest, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There is an Andrew Gaze Great Mumber Award and a Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Your Shot Light 'Em Up Award. And then previews for every single game through till Monday. That'll be good, I assume. Right? Of course, Jim. It's always pretty good. I mean, tell me about it. It is only, what, 1,000 and how many episodes now? It's a lot. I'll tell you. 1,059. Well, with that in mind, let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack!
You better. Tell you what, better watch out for the looking after the squid all morning while trying to work attack. That wasn't fun. It's like, hey, here's an 18-month-old who's having, like, some adverse reactions to his last vaccination sort of gear. And he's not happy. Also trying to do work. I'm like, well, this is not fun. But anyway, he's all right. Squid number two was actually pretty chill and pretty cool. He's like, all right, check out this out, Dad. I'm going to just fang around the house for the next 15 minutes on my trike. I'm like, this is a great idea. Do that and your old mate Dad can do some work. Hashtag Dadstraya. Right. Better also watch out for the attack of the NCAA tournament. How good was it to see Kentucky get knocked out already? That was pretty funny. Drake had a heartbreaking, absolute bottle at loss, especially if you bet on him. Kansas just got by on an absolute job by the refs. Pretty funny stuff. Always love watching college basketball, because it just makes me appreciate the NBA even more. Like watching people who are actually adept at their sport and their profession, because they are in fact professionals, makes a big difference instead of watching a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds jack up threes and miss a lot of them. Still, the drama is fun. Oh, they're amateurs, Jim. Yeah, they're trying hard. Good on them. That's fantastic. Right. Without anything else, let's get into the daily. Oh, it's a whip around, is it, Jim? Yes. Yes, it is. Speaking of which, you can actually watch this on YouTube. This is just me hanging out in the studio. You can just watch my unruly mug just guide you through the world of NBA. But speaking of the NCAA tournament, AA, that's right. Good job. I did always love it when living in the States. That first day is absolute chaos. And it is basically, for any sport lover, essentially, like, it's Thanksgiving. You should take the Thursday and the Friday off for the first 2 days of the tournament, because it's just back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back hoops, and it is one of the great days for drinking. It's a great day for hanging out with mates. It is really, really fun. Even if the basketball quality isn't, you know, tip-top notch, whatever, still a fun day. So I enjoy that. It's always fun to sort of get stuck into it over here. Anyway, speaking of, young players, the G League Ignite will be no more after this season. Adam Silver's gone, that's enough. These guys suck. They're not very good. We're not winning any games and they're not getting any better. They're punting this one into the sun. It makes a bit of sense because especially since the NCAA introduced the NIL, name, image, and image likeness deals, where students could actually, you know, make money off being themselves. Can't believe it took them so long to fucking figure that out. Anyway, it means that they can get paid whilst in college, which is obviously pretty important. And that means that the Ignite, which was essentially like a way of college players going, all right, fuck it, I want to go make some walking around money for a year or two, get better, and not have to go to college. It worked for a little bit where you had Jalen Green and Johnny Kuminga. Kind of neat. You had Scoot Henderson. And then you've got a couple of dudes this year that are probably lottery picks, like Bozelis and Holland. But otherwise, it's just, I think they're 6-40 this season. Like, what are you learning at that point that you couldn't, like, if you're making a little bit of moolah and you're like at North Carolina or Duke or like Kansas or something, right? It might be a little bit more fun experience than being like on a crap version of a pro team. So, I don't know. But what does it mean for the NBL? I think it means a lot of good stuff because I think anyone who doesn't want to sort of go through the rigmarole of the college system, anyone who's sort of dealing with that sort of eligibility problems that some folks sort of come across, the NBL is sitting there going, hello. That's exactly right. Like, they're just going to be like, this is great. So talk about more sort of prospective next stars in your NBL system. I think it's a really good sort of step for the NBL with the Ignite. Essentially just, you know, one of their main competitors just going by the wayside because the NBL like, screw it, and pulling the pin. So no doubt old mate Liam Santamaria will have his hands full over the next 6 months, and the NBL going into next season will be chockers with next stars, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Should be good. Speaking of which, I was going to be going to game 3 on Sunday, but got the pub cricket, big day night out all day. So your mate Jim will be smashing a few tins and then he's got to go tape the AFL show. So can't squeeze it in, which sucks, but oh well, should be awesome. Can't wait for the game tonight, the Jackies versus United. Should be great fun. Anyway, so there you go. Ignite by the wayside. It's a bit of a weird one because they were sort of meant to build up young players, sort of draft prospects, have those elite dudes in, and it never quite got there. It had like 4 top 10 picks since 2020, which is pretty good, but you'd probably want that hit rate when you're paying like legit money to be a little bit higher. Well, anyway, other news. Kevin fucking Huerta. That's right, Huerta. The ginger ninja himself suffered a dislocated left shoulder and a labral tear. Yeah, it's not great, I'll tell you. That hurts. What are you doing, mate? You tore my labrum. But, you know, it's just a bit of a rough one in terms of, I don't know, just a really bad timing for the Kings. At the same time, I don't know. Do I put much chop in Huerta? I don't really. He hasn't been that great this year, so whatever. Bit of a tough one, though. You just don't want injuries. Simple as that. And the other one was Brandon Spindles Ingram. Went down with a knee injury today, and no one's still entirely sure what's going on with that. Which sort of sucks. So fingers crossed that Spindles Ingram's all right. It was sort of like a non-contact knee injury, which is, you know, like, but there was a dude right there and it looked like a super hyper extension, just weird wobbly. It looked like they might have banged knees at one point as well, but then it sort of just like went way back under him. He got sort of walked off with the help of his teammates. So fingers crossed Spindles is okay because that sort of sucks. Right. Other news, James Harden. Fat man who barely clean. He was like, hey, man, I was just trying to lighten the mood, man. Hey, man. Jeez. I mean, it's not great. Like, just going, oh, I tried to contest my mate's shot, my own teammate's shot, because we're up 21. I just wanted to keep on his toes. If he had said that, that's funnier. He was like, nah, man, I was just trying to lighten the mood. So, all right. Do I believe him? Yeah, nah, no. I think his brains are just mush and, I don't know, scrambled from too much Hennessy and, I don't know, lemon peppered chicken wings and stripper glitter. It's a toxic combination, I'll tell you. Anyway, that's it, though. Let's do some game wraps from today.
Game wraps.
That's right. New Orleans, without Spindles, fell very short in Orlando. They proved me wrong. Thanks, Orlando. No, wait. They proved me right. I picked the Magic yesterday, 121-106. They were +2.5 underdogs at home, And they're one of the best covering teams, isn't it? But anyway, Paolo Banchero had a triple-double. He was fantastic. But the shooting for the Pelicans, this is like, it's a bit weird, right? Like, so Ingram goes out. He's been shooting a lot more threes the last sort of 2 months. But without him, it was like CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy, the only two who hit threes this entire game for the Pels. That's not ideal. You need at least one other dude to hit a three, I feel like, right? Maybe. So, look, the Pels just didn't quite have enough in the tank. And once Spindles went out, their fight did too. So Zion had 27-2-2. CJ with 18-3-3. He went 3-6 from downtown. And Trey Murphy, 21 off the bench, 3-5 from downtown. And they just did not have quite enough. Especially when the Magic really put him to the sword in the second quarter. Thanks to Mo Wagner and his stupid pumpkin head. He didn't miss a shot. He hit 2 threes, 5-5 from the floor. He had 14 points in 14 minutes. It's pretty gnarly. Not bad, old Mo. But anyway, Paolo had the 20-10-11. He was fan-bloody-tastic in that game. It took him, like, I think the craziest part was the points were the last aspect of the triple-double to hit. So good on him. Franz Wagner had 18-3-3 as well. And 22 for Jalen Suggs, who has been absolutely unreal since he came back from injury. Shot 7-14. He had 22 points in 28 minutes. He was wicked. And Fultz and Ice Cole Anthony were pretty good in their minutes off the bench too. Good win for the Magic. They're 42-28. The Pelicans, they were the Pelicans today, weren't they? 42-27. It's a tough loss, especially for the Pelicans. Because, look, as we get down to these last few weeks of the regular season, like, every loss is a bitter kick in the dick. Because they now fall all the way 1.5 games back of the Clippers in the 4 spot. And with the Mavs getting a win today, as the Suns and the Kings also played, the Mavs have jumped up to 6, and they're 1.5 games back of the Pels themselves. So you got to win every game out here. That's how it goes. It's a tough run, but that's what it's all about. That's why they play the games. That's why I love the regular season and this whole thing. We're just waiting for playoffs. It's fucking stupid. Sacramento! Oh, God. Bloody hell, Kings. They got beaten by Washington. Can you believe it? Considering I said yesterday on this here program, Malik Monk could probably beat them by himself. That rang very untrue. The Wiz came out of... They were absolutely kicking the shit out of the Kings early. Kings ripped off like an 18-0 run to get back in it. And the Wiz ripped off like a 13-2 run out of the second at the start of the second half and just took over the game. Then the Kings went on another run. Got to go back. 24-8 run, I think it was. Fox and Monk actually finally hit some shots. They actually had the lead with 8.5 minutes left, right? And you're like, here we go. Kings are going to get this. Nope. The Wizards just took over and ran it out down the stretch. Kuzma was fantastic. The Kings lack a defense. Yeah, it sort of rears its ugly head every so often. This was one of those games. The Souvlaki King had 14-14-6, but he had 6 turnovers as well. He did shoot 6-9. Nice. From the field. 25 points from De'Aaron Fox. That's not bad, Jim. He shot 10 of 30. I'm no math magician, but shooting, what? That would have to be 33%, right? Right, yeah. Wait, I'm no actual math magician. That is 35. Oh, God. I'm just painting myself into a corner there. No, 10 of 30 is 33%. Yeah, not great. Not ideal. You've gone and cooked it. De'Aaron Fox, what are you doing, mate? You wouldn't call the cops, would now, would you, mate? What are you doing, mate? Rough one. And then you had as well, like off the bench, Malik Monk has the 20. 16 for Keegan Murray, but there's just, 1 of 8 for Chris Duarte is just brutal. For the Wizards, you had 31-6-5 for Kuzma, 17-9-5 for Denny Avdija. Tell you what, he is like the one, like he and Corey Kispert. Kispert also 15 points, shot 6-9. Nice. Kispert and Avdija are like the two dudes where you're just like, all right, fingers crossed, away we go. For any Wiz fans, but, you know, Kuzma will sometimes have these games because, like, Poole, who cares? He had 14 points on a 5-11 shooting, but, yeah, just full-blown gross. Anyway, what does that mean? That's their 12th win of the season, isn't it, for Washington? They shot 50%, had 19 turnovers, out-rebounded them by 8, but, yeah. 11 of 39 from downtown for the Kings. Just horrible on a back-to-back. Still no excuse. Washington now 12-58. That is a disaster of a loss for the Kings, as mentioned, because that bumps them all the way down to 8 behind now Dallas and Phoenix in the West. and three games up on the Lakers. The Lakers. But really, any loss to like a team like the Wizards at this point in your season, I don't care that it's a back-to-back. You just got to take care of business, and they did not. Kangs, gonna Kangs. What about, however, oh yes, the Rooster game, Jock Landale. Oh, rock'em, sock'em, block'em, Jock'em, Landale. We had a fight in this game, though. That was kind of fun. DeMar smoked Jalen Green on some weird sort of like, oh, I'm going to set a screen and contest and just fucking poleaxed him. Dylan Brooks was like, that was a dog move. I should know. All about dog moves. Goes up, he smashes him. They get into a bit of brouhaha. They both get booted. Houston go on to like win this one pretty easily, 127-117. At home, the Houston Rockets, like, this is it. I think it's, what, 7 on the trot now? Love it. Because Şengün, as I've mentioned, it's like a Turkish delight. It's all empty calories. Get Landale out there. You play small. You've got Jabari Smith there for a chunk of it. Dylan Brooks gets tossed. Doesn't matter. He'd shot 10 of 13 already for his 23 points. Anyway, for the Bulls, Dosunmu at 35-2-2 with three steals. He's awesome. He's going to pop up again later. Hashtag spoiler alert. 16 for DeMar before he got booted. Caruso, not much of a crew show. 12 points on 3-11. He's going to pop up in a second. And Vooch, 16-14-6 with... It was nice to see we had Kobe White back for the Bulls. He came off the bench in this one because AO has been shredding it for Chicago. But he shot 5 of 13 for his 13 points. Look, I'm just happy to have him back in my life. Just need more Kobe. Houston, Jalen Green was absolutely flying. He hit like a corner three, did the old turn away. Gave it the old Nick Young, but he actually hit it. 26-4-3 for him, 10 of 22 overall. Brooks went 10 of 13 from the floor for his 23 before he got booted. Jabari Smith, 2 of 10 shooting. Brutal night for him. A lot of fouls, 5 points. Anytime you can have as many fouls as points, not great. But anyway, 15 for Amen Thompson with 8 rebounds. But the story for me, obviously, Jock Landale. What a game. 17 points. That's a season high. 12 rebounds. That's a career high. And 5 assists. That's an equal career high as well. Just play the man, Houston. God damn it, Ime Udoka, you've had your head up your ass all season. Not playing Jock behind Şengün anyway. Şengün goes out. You put Amen into the starting lineup. You go small, the three-headed sort of three-guard lineup with Brooks, Van Vliet, and Green. And Jock still comes off the bench, but now he's playing 20-plus minutes a game, and he's crushing it. Love it. Just setting benchmarks every bloody game. And I'll tell you what, we'll talk about him again later, but it is awesome. I'm a bit happy about it. Can you tell? Oh, geez, Jim, I didn't even notice, man. But the Rockets, 7 straight now. They're 34-35. And as mentioned, talking about standings, they're only 2.5 games behind the Warriors. That's awesome. Let's go Houston. They're playing such a weird, janky style now that they're kind of fun. They did used to suck, and they were brutal to watch. But now Jalen Green's figured out, wait a minute, without Şengün, I'm awesome. Here we go. Brooklyn! I didn't say the Chicago. Chicago 34-36. As I mentioned time and time again, they just can't get to 500. They're going to get there, I reckon, by the end of the season. It'll be 41-41. But yeah, 34-36. Tough one for Chicago. But they're fine. They're still in the 9 spot there. 3.5 games up on the Hawks. So no problems there for Chicago. Brooklyn got their ass kicked in the end by the Bucks, 115-108. It was a ass kicking for most of it. Came flying back to the Nets, almost, you know, despite themselves. And then the Bucks just sort of kicked it into gear right down the stretch. Like Dame just sort of got hot, hit a bunch of shots, and you're like, yeah. Like, they get Giannis back to the Bucks on a back-to-back, and I'm still like, yeah, I'm going to ride my Brooklyn plus 9.5, and they just squeak it out. They were right there at the end and then couldn't hit a shot and couldn't get a stop. And meanwhile, the Bucks are just like, well, let's just give the ball to Dame and he'll score every time and that'll be it. And you're like, God, it went from basically 103-103 or 103-101 to Milwaukee were up 10, like in the blink of an eye. And you're like, yep, the Nets, 1-2-3 Cancun. 23-6-2 for Mikal Bridges. He hit 6 threes, though. Nicky Claxton had 22-9, 21 for Cam Thomas. More like CTE. Cam Johnson went 4-9 from 3. Lonnie Walker, though, 1-7, and just The Nets are bad. The Bucks, 21-9-5 for Giannis in his return. Very nice to see him back and rolling. 30-12 for Dame Lillard. That's 12 assists. He was very, very good. No fooling. 5-11 from three. Brook Lopez, bit of a revenge game against his old team. 17-5. Malik Beasley had 16-6, went 2-7 from deep. It was a weird Beasley game, but that happens sometimes. AJ Green, 15 points, all of which were from three, obviously 5-7 from downtown. Portis and Bev were pretty bad. 2-10 for Bobby Portis. 0-4 for Pat Bev. Didn't matter. Bucks now cruiser rating 45-25. The Nets, 26-44. And basically, pack her up, boys. You're done. They're 4.5 games back of the Hawks in the 10 spot. Yeah, the Nets were cooked like 2 weeks ago, but this is just their corpse, like a headless chook. We had a dunk comp breakout in Jazz versus the Mavs. The Yaz get beat 97-113. The Mavs absolutely crushed it. It was a bit of a tight one early, and you're like, oh my God, the Mavs are going to Mavs this one. And then in the second quarter, they just went, hang on a second, if we just give it to Dan Gafford and Derek Lively, no one can stop them from dunking all the time. How about we do that? So this is actually a good win for Dallas in the end, because in the exact same way that Sacramento can't cough up a shit game to, like, the Wizards, the Jazz are a sort of sneaky tank team. We know that. But they play really hard. So for Dallas to come out and win this by 16, and the manner in which they did, by just going, just give, fade the big dudes. And Luka all hit a bunch of shots as well. I think Gafford had 10 dunks, which is pretty crazy. That's the most by any player since Rudy Gobert, did in 2022. And they had 18 dunks as a team. The Clippers had 20 dunks as a team a couple of years ago. So it was weird on the broadcast that they were saying, that's the most dunks by any team in 20 years. And you're like, the Clippers did it like a couple of years ago. What are you doing? It's pretty strange. Anyway, Lowry, 21 points on 6 of 20 shooting. Tough one for him. It was weird that they played him in the back-to-back. Keontae, 18 points, 5 assists. That's good. 6 turnovers. 6 of 16 shooting. That's bad. 1 of 6 from downtown. Sexman, he had 20 points and 5 assists. 0 of 3 from downtown. The Yaz, I think, were 2 of 26 from 3 at one point. Hit a couple late, end up 4 of 30. Gross! Anyway, the Mavs, Luka Doncic, 34-9-8 with 4 steals. He was wicked good. 11-23 from the floor, 4 of 10 from downtown. Gafford had 24 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Yeah, that was a good trade. It really was. Kyrie had 7-19 shooting, but ends up with 16-5-7. There was a great play where Luka ends up on the floor after a loose ball, kicks it to Kyrie. Kyrie on the fast break throws it up off the backboard to Gafford. Skadoosh. Very nice. Derek Jones Jr. at 12-4-2. Hardaway the lesser. Now, this is the weird thing. So PJ Hamilton, Washington, and Tim Hardaway, as we've sort of talked about time and time again with the Mavs, it's like if both of those have a shit night, the Mavs are probably going to lose. That's now being balanced out by Jason Kidd just going, hang on a second, if we just get to the big fellas, we're okay. So just give the ball to Gafford and Lively a bit, and that'll balance out Hardaway and Washington when they can't hit the fucking shot of a ban. And that's how it works. 0-4 for Hardaway in 17 minutes. Exum, 15 minutes, not too bad. Did a little bit of everything, didn't score though. Jaden Hardy hit a couple of threes as well. He's like this sneaky little cool part for this Mavs team over the last little bit. He's become a very handy sort of microwave bench scorer, or at least just hitting some shots when he comes in. The Knicks fell, the Dallas Mavericks now 41-29. Utah flipped that in reverse at 29-41. But as I mentioned earlier, the Mavs are actually back up into the top six, 41-29 ahead of Phoenix, who are 41-29 as well. But they have the tiebreaker for the moment. So very cool. Good job. Utah 29-41, tanking. The Knickerbockers 100, Denver 113, the Camby Bowl. I love a good Marcus Camby Bowl. Antonio McDyess Bowl. Yeah. Big win, though, for Denver. They handled the Knicks pretty nicely down the stretch after the Knicks came at them hard in the second half. It was like 83-88, and then from there it was like pretty tight after the Nugs had sort of built out like the 12-point lead, 10-point lead. The Knicks just sort of stuck around, and that's when the Knicks are really dangerous. But Michael Porter Jr. just went, I'm in fuego, check this out. And they stretched out the lead late. Jamal Murray is just still a weapon. He looked like he hurt himself late too. And the Knicks just couldn't stop Denver. They don't have the big dudes in the middle. It's like Isaiah Hartenstein, hello. Like bloody Nikola Jokic is throwing no look behind his head passes to Aaron Gordon under the basket and stuff. And you're like, what is he meant to do? How are you meant to defend that? The dude's not even looking there. It's like, well, maybe don't have somebody open under the basket, Jim. But anyway, look, the Knicks put up a bit of a fight. To lose by 13, well, the line was like 9.5 by the time it finished. Brunson just was a little bit off. Adonte DiVincenzo couldn't either sort of really get going. He had 11 points on 11 shots. 18 for Alec Burks. Looked like he might be the one Knickerbocker that stepped up out of nowhere. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 5-11 shooting, 3-6 from 3. But Deuce McBride, Josh Hart played 36 minutes. He had 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. It was almost like the Nuggets went, let's not let Josh Hart beat us, you know? And that's what happened. So 26 for Jalen Brunson on 23 shots. He had 9 assists, 0 turnovers. But yeah, the 11 of 23 shooting was pretty tough. Hartenstein, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. But going up against the Joker, it's a different story altogether. 30, 14, and 11 for the Joker. That's just silly. 12 of 23. But it was Michael Porter Jr. who blew this one wide open. 31 and 8. He shot 13 of 16. You're taking the piss, mate. 23 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists for Jamal Murray. 10, 4, and 8. That's right, 8 assists for Aaron Air Gordon. Good win for the Nuggets, considering they only went 6 of 20 from 3. That's 30%. I'm a math magician. Good stuff by Denver. They're now 49 and 21. And I believe that makes them 13 and 2 since All-Star break. The Knickerbockers, they are 41 and 28. It's a tough loss because with Orlando winning, guess what happened? Flip it up and reverse it. The Orlando Magic are now in the 4th spot and the Knickerbockers of New York City have slipped to 5. Wow. Interesting. And then finally, the Suns held on to beat the Atlanta Hawks 128-115. Jim, I don't know, beating a team by 13 is hanging on. It kind of was. Like Atlanta came out in all of flurry, got up big, and then the Suns pulled it all the way back. They played like an arm wrestle, like third quarter. And the Suns sort of didn't take until like a few minutes into like the fourth quarter where they sort of started blowing it open. I think Royce O'Neal hit a 3 and that put them up 8. And from that point, because they basically just went on a nice big run. It was like a 4-point game. And then it sort of turns around. They're up 8. They're up 11 because Brad Beal hits a 3 after that as well. And they sort of cruised for a bit of the fourth quarter. They sort of came back at them late as well. Like, it was a 5-point game, but then Phoenix just sort of held them off very nicely. It's what you can do when you can just go, screw it. We'll just give it to, like, Kevin Durant and Brad Beal. And then Devin Booker hits a 3 to basically seal the deal with, like, less than 3 minutes left to put them up 12. So, good win. Booker had 30. The Suns smashed in a bunch of threes. Eric Gordon was massive. And yeah, it's just tough for the Hawks to keep up without Trey, I guess. They did have 22 and 4 from DeAndre. Hannah and Bogdan Bogdanovic had 16. He hit 4 threes. DeJounte Murray, a bit of an inefficient night. 29, 9, and 10. That's pretty good. 4 steals, 5 turnovers. Shot 3 of 10 from deep. 11 of 28 overall. It's a little bit of a wobbly one. But then for the Suns, you had 21 from Eric Gordon. That's pretty bloody good. 34 and 2 from Devin Booker. 12 from Brad Beal. And 19, 4 and 2 with 3 blocks from KD. KD had a rough one. 5 of 15 shooting. They threw a bit of size at him as well, right? You've got Hunter, Capella. They started Krejci as well, which is pretty weird. But Okongwu and Capella, just, it's one of those ones you go, yeah, this could be a bit of a pain in the ass for a team like the Suns where it's just kind of like Nurk and Bol Bol. And the Hawks kind of got away with it for 3 quarters and then the Suns got them. So their Suns are now 41-29, as mentioned, tied with Dallas, but in the 7th spot because they lose the tiebreaker. The Hawks 30-39 in the 10th spot. Right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Nikola Jokic, 30, 14, and 11. He just pulls these off every so often where you're like, that's just silly, mate. Luka, 34, 9, and 8 with the 4 steals. The pass to Kyrie, just the passing for that Mavs team in that game was just silly. And Michael Porter Jr., the 31 points on 13 of 16 shooting, absolute daggers, each of them down the stretch against the Knicks, who just really want to choke a team like the Nuggets out, right? And the way that the Nuggets dealt with that was really impressive. So a lot of that was MPJ just hitting all of the shots. Sometimes it's as easy as that. And Dan Gafford, I mean, it's hard to miss shots when you're just dunking everything. So good on him. How about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Plenty of Spuds. This is a Spudtastic time. 0-4 for both Pat Bev and Tim Hardaway. As mentioned, Tim Hardaway Jr. played, 17 minutes? 0-4, 0-3 from downtown. I think he had one rebound and one turnover. That is an ineffectual 17 minutes, my friends. Bobby Portis with a 2-10 shooting, same as Jabari Smith Jr. there. 4-15 for DeRozan before he got tossed. I think that might have been a bit of a frustration foul on Jalen Green. It's like, I can't hit a shot. Fuck it, I'm out of here. Dennis Schroeder, I am German. Rondo went 2-9. And I mentioned Chris Duarte for the Kings. 1-8. Brutal gear. Lonnie Walker, 1-7. Very, very tough. But I would like very much to thank Alex Caruso for putting on a Caruso show and Fred Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliets. What do they shoot, Jim? What do you reckon they shot? Chill! Dream of juice. Have you ever made out in the dark hallway? That's right. They both shot 3-11. Also, KD, the 5-15 was pretty brutal, especially if you bet on him. Jeez, you'd hate to do that, wouldn't you, Jim?
Yes.
All right. What happens after a bit of Spud of the Night? It's Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got No Mates today? Dylan Brooks getting called out by Jock Landau. Love this. Jock Landau knows the idea behind good team chemistry and pulling your fucking head in. Jock Landau said after the game, Dylan Brooks, if you're listening, this ain't Memphis, man. Stop getting yourself ejected. We need you out here. We need that physicality. I love that. I love that Jock Landau is calling out Dylan Brooks for being a psycho. Yeah, get in like DeMar DeRozan's face, but don't get kicked out, you idiot. He was having an awesome game. Probably, I think it was like obviously the most efficient game he's played for Houston. It was fucking fantastic. And then he gets booted out. I get standing up for your teammates because Jalen Green got just absolutely shivered by DeMar. Dylan Brooks can go, hey, DeMar, fucking do that again or knock your block off. Don't get kicked out, though. So good job on Jock Landau for calling him out. Dylan Brooks probably needs more teammates like that. But also Mo Bamba versus Pat Bev. So Mo Bamba got called out on Pat Bev's show and responded on Twitter, just roasting Pat Bev. I enjoyed this. All right, I got time today, Pat Bev pod. I'm a top five black-white guy because I can properly articulate how I feel and how I see things. Now, if you didn't know what the fuck this was about, it's because earlier this week, Pat Bev called Mo Bamba one of the top five whitest black players in the NBA. Which you can see why it's funny for Pat Bev. It's also like a bit fucking shit, like to be doing that sort of stuff, I feel. You know? And Mo Bamba was actually pretty good in his fucking like comeback game. So he says that you a smart man, do your research. I'm not a gangster to any capacity, but I'm born and raised from Harlem. I made it off the block and out the trenches. Secondly, sitting there with your legs crossed like that and asking your white co-host to publicly question my blackness is one of the reasons why it's hard to move the culture forward. Furthermore, if I'm top five, where do you rank after letting homie talk to you like this? But you say, like you say, love gang, y'all go subscribe to the pub. I kind of like Mo Bamba just going, yeah, that's a dickheaded way of talking about race, right? It's a shitty kind of way, and I thought that was a pretty fun way for Mo Bamba to go, hey, Pat Bev, get fucked. That's pretty good. All right. What about Pantsing of the Night?
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
I think any time that a dude can throw a no-look pass behind his head directly to his teammate for an open dunk, that's a bit of a pantsing. But also what the Mavs were just doing time and time and time and time again to the Yaz. That's a pantsing as well. It's like, if you can have 18 dunks in a game, what are you doing on... what is Walker Kessler's fucking worth as a basketball player after today? Is he a top five not white player? I don't know, but it's fucking brutal. Tough gear. 10 dunks for Gafford alone is just... it's a kick in the dick, your defense. Anyway, Good stuff. Who is better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Tell you that much. Ayo Dosunmu. He came very hard at the title for NBA Australia Approved Performer of the Day. But I saved him for this one because remember, the actual point guard for the Chicago Bulls is kind of meant to be Lonzo Ball. He unfortunately has not played in 2 years. It sucks. It's brutal. And now both of his backups have come in and shredded this year. Kobe White has been fantastic. You all know that. You know that I love him. And Ayo has had two of his best games as an NBA player in the last week and a bit, filling in for Kobe. So if your backups are outplaying you and actually both putting up better career high numbers than Lonzo ever did, you better believe they're both better than Lonzo Ball. So I'll tell you what, he goes, for 35 points today, does Ayo Dosunmu, but also shoots the piss out of it. 13 of 18 from the floor, 5 of 6 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. That is bloody awesome. Ayo Dosunmu. Right, everyone's favorite thing, though. Now we're back in the Larry Armour Studios. We can actually do it. It's time for the magic tweet of the day. Major NCAA March Madness Tournament 80-76 upset victory for number 14 seed Oakland over the number 3 seed Kentucky. Oakland's guard Jack Golkey, was sizzling hot, draining 10 threes in his 32-point performance to carry his team to a win, fire emoji. His 10 threes was one shy from tying the NCAA Tournament single 3-game record. The state of Michigan came ready to play in the tournament with MSU and now Oakland both winning today. Party popper emoji, party popper emoji. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. I think that's all we need to know about the NCAA. I can just follow the NCAA tournament just via Magic's tweets. I love. Just imagine if that was all, your entire information source was Magic. Because that's what he does. He puts every skerrick of information into the single tweets. It's amazing. Don't let anybody tell you different. We love you, Magic. Thank you for your service. Finally, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
Yeah, not to harp on about the Pat Bev thing of like, yeah, the top five whitest black guys. It's like, really? That's what, like, it's this early into your podcasting career, Pat Bev, that you're doing that? How's the engagement going? Clearly not great. Bloody hell. So yeah, dickhead vibes there. And of course, DeMar DeRozan, who everybody fucking loves, seems like an absolute legend. That hit on Jalen Green was pretty fucking dirty. Go and watch it. It's like, dude, what the hell? Hard foul, play on, but also, a bit uncalled for, a bit dickheady. What are you doing, DeMar? All right, let's do some yen-ass right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia Now is brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop.
Steve-o.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch.
Do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Get your merch. Get a hoodie. Get a t-shirt. Get a stubby holder. Get a coffee mug. Go nuts. Please. I've still got to pay for those renos. We haven't started them yet. Brutal. It cost me a fucking arm and a leg. Anyway, let's start the NRs. Rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em, Landale, starting five in Paris. Yeah, nah, Jim. Yeah, nah. Of fucking course, yes. I mean, the starting five last time around as well, but he got hurt. More importantly for me, does this mean we've actually got a really fucking solid 40 minutes from center between he and Duop? Yeah, nah, yeah. I actually love this because rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em, Landale getting playing time. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills getting playing time. Duop being basically one of the best rookie centers in the league this year. It's just a nice, solid foundation heading into Paris. But especially Jock, who missed out on the World Cup, obviously due to injury, which just was, talk about kicks in the dick, that's right there. But had spent the entire year just barely seeing the floor to the point where you're like, this is it personal? As he does Ime Udoka just hate Australians? Like, the answer is probably yes. Ime Udoka is a bit of a lunatic. Who knows what could happen? Maybe Jock's like, no, don't root my missus. And Ime's like, oh, fucking do what I want. But anyway, Jock's now played 42 games. It was looking this season, and it was like looking like it would be substantially less than that, because up until the Sengun injury, he'd basically been like getting spot 6-7 minutes here and there, right? 4-6-7 minutes. And then since Sengun's gone out, it's been at least 10 minutes a game. And then the last, like, actually, he's now played 43 games as of today. And in the last five, he's topped 25 minutes three times. So that's awesome. Feed the beast. Give the ball to Jock. It's awesome. Like, in one week, he's had two season highs and just absolutely crushed it. Love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. All right, other NRs. What did we have? We had Paul Pierce. Steph's influence on the game has been greater than LeBron, Jordan, and Kobe. Yeah, nah, no. Stop fishing for fucking engagement as well, Paul Pierce. I love Paul Pierce, but because he says some crazy shit, this is flat out crazy. Steph's influence on the game. Look, from a three-point analytical perspective, it would have happened anyway, right? It wasn't just Steph. Like, the fact that Steph was paired up with Klay just rammed home the point of, like, taking threes is good, especially if you can hit lots of them. But you can't say that the influence on the game was greater than Jordan or Kobe throughout the years. LeBron, maybe. Like, we sort of talked this one out the other day. But, yeah, Paul, just fucking settle down, mate. Last one is Dante, the straw that stirs the Dallas drink. Yeah, nah, yes. It was a great story on Yahoo. I think, was it Jake Fisher who wrote that? Let's check it out. I can't remember. But it was very good, and I really, really enjoyed it because the Dante story is just wildly awesome, right? Like, it's just, I'm so stoked for our man Dante. Kangaroo Kobe, Dante sex him up, X him, the Tarnate Terror. Yeah, Jake Fisher on Yahoo Sports. So he sort of goes into like Dante's time over in Europe, how he sort of rebuilt his, you know, physical foundation over there and just his approach to the game. And it's fucking awesome. And like how he got a shot in the NBA, how rarely that happens, and now how well he works next to Luka and stuff. But yeah, he does point out, so in the games where X has been available, it's pretty weird. Kyrie and Luka actually are minus 2.9 net rating in 511 minutes together without Exum, right? When the three have played over 100 minutes, they're 124.8 with an offensive rating. So that's unreal. That's 3 points above just Luka and Kyrie out there by themselves. It's higher than the Celtics, who are the best offense in the league. And they have a 112.9 defensive rating, which is pretty bloody good. That's a top 10 sort of unit for the season. So they're 7 of 8 since he came back from his injury. He's crushing it. I'm loving the Dante story. And it sort of leads very nicely into our Outback Takehouse in a second, but we'll get to that in a second. The unpopular opinion of the day is...
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm here for NBA fights. You know that. But at the same time, Dylan Brooks, if you're going to get booted, make it fucking worth it. Like, none of this pissant, hold me back, hold me back. Like, we get that you want to be the tough guy. You got to stand up for your teammates. That's 100% true. You just got to do it a little bit smarter. Either fucking go fists of fury flying in, just fucking hammering tongs, but don't get tossed for like pissant shit. What are you doing? Get a hold of yourself, Dylan Brooks. All right, Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, four for one oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right, it's time for the Foster's Australian Grand Prix. Wait, it's not called that anymore? Blow it out your arse, you corporate shill dickheads. Nothing like an icy cold Foster's Lager to go down with your F1, I'll tell you that much. And you get 4 for 1 oil drum cans the size of your fucking head only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is... The Aussies are peaking at the exact fucking right time, aren't they? That's right, Dante Exum, Paddy Thrills, Mills, Rock'em, Sock'em, Block'em, Jock'em, Landau, and Josh Giddey are playing just enough at this point to ensure that the Aussies will medal at the Olympics only at Outback. To be honest, it is a massive far cry from the start of this season. So Greeny's injured, that sucks, but he had been playing a lot and he'd been playing really well. And this is always going to be the weird one with Josh Green. It's like, can you just string together an entire season that doesn't have like a weird fucky hammy strain, ankle roll or something? But he sort of timed it okay where he'll get back in time for the playoffs, fingers crossed, and go from there, go from strength to strength. But the fact that Paddy has landed on the Heat and is getting minutes, Jock is getting to play heaps because of Şengün's injury, it's fucking really good timing. Giddy is sort of cruising along. Even Jingles, he's just sort of doing his thing. It's pretty bloody good. I'll take it. Duop now just needs dominate and to, like, I don't know, have Portland go, oh, I feel like we need to sit to tank a little bit more. Duop, you're in the starting lineup, and then we're good. But I love the idea of 40 minutes, Jock Landau and Duop Reef in the middle for Gorge at Paris. Just saying. Medals, baby. Medals. All right, let's take a quick break. Be back with Australia Player Watch right after this.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. We had Rock'em, Sock'em, Block'em, Jock'em, Landau, as mentioned, 17 points, 12 rebounds, couple of blocks, 5 assists. Wait, no. Yes, that's right. So the 5 assists were an equal career best, the 12 rebounds were a career best, and the points were a season high as well, which is just bloody fantastic. 5 of 5 at the line. Bloke absolutely crushed it. You love to see it because I love that they keep interviewing him after the games. I love that he gets more airtime, gets more shine. If nothing else, it means that he'll have an absolute run at getting his contract guaranteed for next season, at least by maybe another team trading for it, or at least just glomming on with another team anyway. Great to see. But yeah, there you go. A season high in points. And then a career high in rebounds, which is just bloody massive. 17 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. That is awesome. What a legend. Jingling Joe Ingles, 16 minutes against New Orleans. Only took one shot. It was from 3. He missed it. But he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 1 turnover. Love that. And for Dante in that Mavericks game up against Utah, his old team, don't forget, they drafted him number 5 many moons ago. It's a decade ago now. That's crazy to think. Anyway, he was pretty good. He missed his one shot as well, so he had 0 points. But he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 turnovers, and 2 fouls. 2 for 2 for 2 for 2. 2 for 222. Not bad. And that was it, because we didn't have no Dyson Daniels. He'll be back hopefully next week. Keep an eye out for that. And Greeny obviously out with his bung ankle. Righto. Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first man you won the Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. That's right. Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence today goes to Kevin Durant and Luka Doncic. So KD went past Shaq on the all-time scoring list for 8th. All time, which is pretty bloody good. Remember, was drafted by the Seattle Supersonics, my beloved Seattle Supersonics. So as much of a snake as KD has proven to be, still love him. I think that's awesome. I do have a couple of KD Seattle jerseys floating around. Not in here, actually. Should put them up. They're great jerseys to hang up. They certainly don't fit anymore. Ah, you got fat, Jim. Anyway, good times, great memories. Goes past Shaq, and in 1,048 games versus 1,207 games for Shaq. So passing the 28,600 point mark. It's very cool. He's got to chase down, what, Dirk and Kobe. Wilt, I think, is up next as well. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. See how far KD can go. Fingers crossed he stays healthy. Touch wood. Righto, and also Luka Doncic, most 30.5 rebound, 5 assist games in NBA history in a single season. That's 47 by Oscar Robertson, the Big O, back in 1992. Luka is 4 behind him, 43 so far this season. That is bloody good. So 47 for Oscar Robertson, 43 for Luka. 43, 30.5 rebound, 5 assist games is just fucking stupid. You're taking the piss at this point. Love that. And real quick, Shane Hill, shoot a shoot, shoot a shot, light him up award.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Heal.
Shoot is shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light 'em up award.
It really is. The most threes in a season in franchise history is now Michael Porter Jr. That's pretty good. And he's done it this year. The fact that he stayed healthy this year as well is absolutely awesome. Again, touch wood. So great job. I think he went past. So Michael Porter Jr. topped it with 193. He went past Dale Ellis. I love Dale Ellis, who did that in 1997. He had 192 made threes. And Dale Ellis, obviously a fantastic Seattle Supersonic legend as well. Love a bit of Dale Ellis, number three. So yeah, good stuff. Michael Porter Jr. can knock him in. All right, what are we up to? Let's do A, Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, because I know he's been on the socials. Let's do it. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, is out there. He's reposting Sadel Marley, repping Tough Gong, Miami Heat, Herschel Supply. So that's his bag. Looks pretty good. Paddy's hair is looking fucking fantastic. Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em, Landau as well. Block Landau, fam. Fred Van Vliet, not bad. I like that they're calling him Block Landau. Roll off the tongue as well as Rock'em, Sock'em, Block'em, Jock'em, Landau. But anyway. Get up, son, at Jalen. That was a sick dunk, yeah, the other day. And then Block Landau back at it. I love Jock, like, reposting his own highlights. I fucking love that because it's exactly what I would do. Like, did you see how fucking great I was the other day, bro? Gee, this is how fucking you're smart. Boring. Right, how are we going on the picks today? Out of all the games, I think we missed. Where do we go? We went. We won the... Oh, wait. No. No. Yes! 2, 3, 4. 4 of 8, I think, from... Is that 4 of 7? So that's 1 loss. 2 losses. 3. Yeah, 4 of 7 today. Bit of a tough one, but it's all right. We'll do better tomorrow. Still better than 500% against the line. Just saying, it's pretty bloody good, mate. Pretty bloody good. Tomorrow we have Boston at Detroit. Tricky one. 13.5-point line. I like that they've sort of given that a bit of a handicap in favor of Detroit, who are playing pretty hard at home and like to gum shit up, obviously, against good teams. I'm still going to take Boston, though. They are flying and just kicking the shit out of teams. They could rest a couple of players, and their B team could still probably cover this line. 13.5 is a little bit squirrely, but I'll take the Celtics minus 13.5. Best team in the NBA. Same thing goes for the Thunder. They are heading up to Toronto to take on the Raptors. 14.5-point favorites. But the Raptors, as I've sort of said, stealth tanking. And the Thunder, when they kick the shit out of a team, they tend to stay kicked the shit out of. So I'll take the Thunder minus 14.5. There's been a couple of little hiccups by the Thunder of late. A little bit of a lack of focus. But I think as they're sort of in that death roll with Denver for the number one seed, they'll stay absolutely engaged throughout the rest of this season. And even on the road, a 15-point win is a bit of an ask, but they're so fucking good that it might not matter. Let's go to the Thunder. New Orleans go to Miami. This is a banged-up New Orleans team. Obviously, as of today, losing Spindles is really, really tough, and Miami is a hard place to play anyway. Jimmy Butler is a weird matchup for the Pels. I'll take the Heat minus 3.5. As long as Bam plays, I think they're good. If there's no Bam, you'd maybe kick the tires on a Pals pick, but yeah, if Bam's good, Heat all the way. Cleveland, 6.5-point underdogs in Minnesota. I'm going to go Cleveland. They pulled off a surprise win the other day. They are scrappy. They don't have Donnie Mitchell for a week, but they know that now. It's Minnesota. It's, I don't know, a bit of go the fro Jared Allen up against whoever they're going to have. There's going to be what? They lost Naz Reid the other day. They've had no Cat. I kind of like the Cavs plus 6.5. It's weird that they're like listed at that line. So I'll take Cleveland. Thank you. Memphis go to San Antonio. They're plus 6.5. I'm going to go the Grizzlies as well. They just play really fucking hard. They might get eaten up by Wemby, but Memphis do have Desmond Bane and Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. They've got a couple of good NBA players now, the Memphis Hustle. So I'll take Memphis plus 6.5. In San Antonio. The Clippers take on Portland. Clippers were sort of fucking around the other day. They were leading that game by a lot. they have had a couple of big wins, but Portland's, I don't know, they've got a bit of a whiff of the stinkiness about them. 13.5 at home is a big one. I'm still probably going to go the Clippers minus 13.5, though. They've just got a lot of talent, don't they? You know? And Portland still have Anthony Penny-Simons going, I don't know if I'm going to be good today. The Pacers take on the Warriors. This game is awesome. The back and forth nature of both teams should be pretty cool. I'm going to say the Pacers plus 4.5. Wouldn't surprise me if the Warriors pull out a very close win. But the Pacers are one of the best covering teams on the road in the NBA. And Golden State, despite last year's awesome like home heroics, aren't very good at home this year, especially against the line. I'll take the Pacers. Between Halliburton and Siakam and co., they've got enough shooting. They've got a little bit of something in the middle with Miles Turner. Should be a really good game. So I like the Pacers, though. And then you've got Philly taking on the Lakers without Joel Embiid, of course. This should be a big, big Anthony Davis game. I'll take the Lakers minus 9.5. Maxey should go off. Tobias Harris is still questionable. But even then, when he plays, he's questionable. Waka, waka, waka. The Lakers minus 9.5. LeBron and AD should carve up this Sixers team sans Embiid. Sunday, you've got a battle of the boroughs. The Knickerbockers of New York City take on the Brooklyn Nets. 4 a.m. for us here in Australia. I'm going to take the Knicks because they're good and Brooklyn are shit. Orlando host Sacramento. This is a tough one. Orlando are pretty good at home. We know that. The Kings, they just lost to the Wizards. So fuck that. We're going Orlando. Atlanta take on Charlotte, who have packed up and just... Yeah, they're already in Mexico, that team. Atlanta, all the way there. Toronto go to Washington. Two teams that are just going hard on the tank. The Wiz might pull this off. I'll take Washington, I think, just because, as we saw today, right? Like they, if Kuzma's just feeling it, they can get on a bit of a roll. Denny Avdija, Corey Kispert and co., they're playing tough. Toronto just have these moments where they completely give up the ghost. Give me the Wizards. I don't like that game. I don't like the pick, but here we are. Boston, Chicago. I'm going to take the Celtics. They have steamrolled the Chicago Bulls the last couple of times. Even on a back-to-back, I'm still going to take the Celtics to win that game. When the line comes out, I'll probably look at Chicago at the line, though, just because, I don't know, they play pretty tough. The Celtics have covered the line a couple of times against them, but yeah, on a back-to-back, it's a tough ask, even though the game before was Detroit. Utah go to Houston. You know how much I love this Houston team. Let's go Rock 'em, Sock 'em, Block 'em, Jock 'em, Landau for another big game. We're going the Rockets. Phoenix then go to San Antonio. KD versus Wemby. San Antonio home and home back-to-back. Bit of a tough one. I'll take the Suns, obviously. And Denver should beat Portland as well. Yeah, because they don't have Nurkic anymore. So it's just keep an eye out every time that Joker plays Nurkic. Now that Nurk's on Phoenix, that's the fun matchup. Monday, 6 a.m. start. New Orleans at Detroit. Even with the injuries, the Pelicans should be still a little bit too good on the road for Detroit. The Clippers host Philly. That's Philly with a weekend in L.A. Watch out for that second one. We're going the Clippers. Cleveland go to Miami. This is a really fun game. It's a massive game. I'm going to go the Miami Heat in that one. I think they should be a little bit too good. I like Cleveland in that first game of their weekend. This one's a bit tougher just because you know that they can throw the clamps at Darius Rucker, Judy Garland. And if you cut off his supply and if their threes don't drop, Miami should win that one. Milwaukee, OKC. This game is awesome on Monday. OKC, top of the West. Milwaukee, second in the East. I don't mind the Bucks. SGA versus Dame. But Giannis and that defense for the Bucks, if it can continue to improve, this is a really good testing ground, right? The Bucks came up short the other day against the Celtics, but made a game out of it late. I think they could actually win this one at home against the Thunder. Prove me wrong, OKC, and then we'll talk. But until then, I'm taking the Bucks. Golden State go to Minnesota. They've given them a lot of problems in the past, have the Wolves, but without their two Twin Towers, you know, fully armed and operational, I'm going to go the Warriors in that one in Minnesota. Steph to light them up. And then finally, the Pacers at the Lakers. This should be great fun, too. In-season tournament vibes written all over it. I'm going to go the Lakers. If Indy get that win at Golden State, I think they split these two. If Golden State beat Indy, Indy are wildly just when they shit down their leg, they shit down their leg, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go the Lakers still. It should be a really fun game. Pacers just bring out the best in teams sometimes. What an awesome Monday that is, though. OKC, Milwaukee, Golden State, Minnesota, Indy, Lakers. And the cool thing is we'll wrap it up for you on Monday. That's right. That's what we do on NBA Australia. every bloody day. But in the meantime, you can obviously follow NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all that good stuff. And now, TikTok. I'll be popping up every so often on there too. But get around, more importantly, AFL Today Show, because all the footy you need, all the stuff you want covered, every game picked and previewed, talked out, all the other fun stuff. So subscribe to that on your podcast app, would you? AFL Today Show. I'm also on the Supercoach, the official AFL Supercoach show. I host that. So if you can go rate, review that and say that Jim's all right, that'd be good. Go check that out. And yeah, get around AFL Today, around all the socials as well. Get around the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast. They're the stuff that we do as well. And NFL Australia with myself and Gaz. We will have an off-season show coming up. Chuck us a rating review on all of those shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever you use on your Android phone. Please do. It does help out. And especially AFL Today, you can go watch it on YouTube. You can watch this one on YouTube now as well. Check them out. See my smiley face. Check out this beard. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. And big thanks always goes to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. They rule. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. So smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Wherever you're listening to your tunes, follow your bands, do it. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. All right, let's close out with a classic, Cooking with Bainesy. We will catch you on Monday. Until then, look, have a good weekend. And we'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Look after yourselves, would you? And later, Jose.
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. G'day. Yes, how are you all? Well, look at us over there. I see you over there again, Cheryl. Yes, we know that you love it. Oh, this is great. Yeah, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I am your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. All right, so this here episode, we're going to whip up one of my absolute favourite Australian staples. You can have it whenever as well, at night, for dinner, after a big night on the Terps. It's that absolute Aussie classic. It is Hawaiian pizza. Oh, yes, that's right. I love me some Hawaiian pizza, and it's easy as to make, mate. I mean, it definitely helps keeping up this physique, if you know what I mean. I reckon I probably cook about three of these bloody things a week, you know what I'm saying? And also, hey, just for yous out there as well, don't bloody listen to anyone who says shit about pineapple on pizza. They can go and do what I tell every center in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. They can go fuck themselves, all right? You can put whatever the fuck you want on pizza. It's pizza. All right, so anyway, Hawaiian pizza is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and grab yourself a pizza base. I love the spongier, thick ones, you know. Grab a thing of tomato paste. Now, don't bother with the fancy pants shit with basil or oregano in it unless you want to be like all fancy pants and shit. Because then you just grab a bunch of shredded ham from the deli. Grab a bag of shredded cheese. Now, you can have mozzarella, cheddar, home brand, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's just bloody cheese. And the key ingredient, a tin of pineapple chunks. Now, it's pretty easy to whip this bad boy up, so let's get to it. All right, here we go. Now, just whip your base out. There you go. All right, now smother it with the tomato paste. Well, yep, there you go. Smooth her out a bit. Just make sure it's all over the entire thing. Now, dump your ham on there. Yep, all this shredded ham. Now, oh, get your fingers amongst that. Shove that to the edges. There you go. Spread that out nice and even. Yep, there you go. All right, now cover this liberally with the dead pig. Come on, man. You got to put the ham everywhere. You just need heaps and heaps and heaps of ham. Just make sure it's the nice shredded stuff, though. All right, now drain your pineapple into the sink. Or you can drain it into a cup and drink that pineapple juice, you know. What bloke doesn't like a cup of pineapple juice, you know what I'm saying, ladies? There we go.
Now, fang the chunks of pineapple on there. Just put it everywhere, you know, just throw it around. And then cover up the entire bloody thing with your shredded cheese. All right. Now, we've got this oven over here. Just wang her in there in the oven. There you go. Just for a good 15, 20 minutes at about 220 degrees Celsius. None of that Fahrenheit bullshit. Now, sit back, grab a tin, and let her cook. Oh, doesn't that bloody well smell delicious? All right, now here's one we made a little bit earlier. So you can see once it's browned a bit on the edges and all your cheese is all melty and nice, you whip her out, you chop her up into slices, and Bob is your bloody pizza-loving uncle. Now, give it a sec to cool down before you chow down. Don't burn your bloody tongue because that cheese will be hot as buggery, eh? So, all right, now it's there. Just get your bloody munch on. And that is an absolute bloody ripper of a meal. The best bit is, and this will impress everyone, right? You can cook it whenever you want. Mates, the missus, kids, everyone bloody loves Hawaiian pizza. And if they don't, just give them the old bangers, don't argue, and go tell them to cook their own bloody pizza. Because this is just bloody delicious, mate. All right, how easy was that? Cool, there you go. That is absolutely unreal. Love me some Hawaiian pizza. All right, so that's it for this week. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.